Hello and welcome into this edition of the Off the Trail Podcast with Rex and Lavely. Fallout continues from Tiger Woods' arrest last week near his home in South Florida. And Rex, it was a busy Tuesday. First, we had the details, the probable cause affidavit that was released by the Martin County Sheriff's Office. Then, mid-afternoon, while you were recording Golf Central, we had the not guilty plea, and Woods retained the same lawyer, Douglas Duncan, that he had for his DUI case back in 2017. And a couple hours after that, while you were back home in your hotel trying to get some sleep, oh, we got another statement, this from Tiger Woods, the PGA Tour, and Tour CEO Brian Rolep, with Woods announcing that he is stepping away from competitive golf to seek treatment. There's a lot to unpack here.
Certainly, as you didn't get the timeline exactly right, I had just walked back into my hotel room, so I wasn't completely unpacked. Actually, I didn't even have put my book bag down, so it was fine. You're right. It was quite the Tuesday, and this is, you know, one of those days that over the course of your career, you're going to remember. I would call it a little surreal, just the way things sort of unraveled throughout the day. You mentioned that the affidavit report came out early, and there was a lot of details in there. There was a lot that you and I covered on Golf Today over the 2 hours of that show. And then the way sort of the court filing happened during, as you pointed out, during the taping of Golf Central, that was towards the end of the show. I think we had about 15 minutes left. That in itself wasn't surprising. I think the surprising part was it was the statement that came out a few hours later saying that he was going to seek help. He was going to seek therapy. He was going to step away from the game. All of those things that we now know. It doesn't really add up logically with claiming that you're innocent, pleading not guilty, wanting a jury trial for what happened on Friday for the DUI arrest, and then in the next moment saying that I do have a problem and I need to seek help. It's two parts of the conversation, and I thought you did a really good job breaking it down last night when we taped the second Golf Central. Is there's the human side of it, and I think all of us just should maybe exhale a little bit, that it seems as if Tiger Woods did the one thing that most of us, at least with microphones that have to talk about this, thought that he needed to do. And that was admit you have a problem and seek help and try to take care of yourself first and foremost. I think that's the most important part about all of this.
I agree, Rex. The seriousness with which Tiger Woods now finds himself, not just legally, but I think just personally. On a personal level and dealing with the issues that he has, I think he's addressing it. This statement did come 4 days. I think you, I, and everyone else were wondering what took so long for the PGA Tour and Tiger Woods to release a statement for what was, again, the second time that he has been suspected of DUI. I think when you look at the statement itself, it's lacking in contrition, understanding that what he's has done is wrong and he's endangering others. That might be a legal strategy. Of course, as you mentioned, he did enter a not guilty plea. We had Jody Balsam on Golf Today. You had her multiple times on Golf Central during the breaking news bang segment. She said the decision by Tiger Woods to enter treatment said could be sort of a preemptive tactic, especially when he's demanding a trial by jury to show that he's taking the necessary steps to better himself. So that could be one of the strategies there. But I go into the statement, Rex, and I look at a specific phrase, and that's him trying to recover toward, quote, lasting recovery. We've seen Tiger Woods enter rehab before back in 2017 after the DUI arrest there. Clearly, you know, it's addiction and dependency are really dangerous things. Didn't quite take hold. Tiger is hoping this is going to be more than just a stopgap. More than just a short stint for optics or potentially to plead down to a lesser offense in court. This is something that, you know, it's not just him recovering from a back issue or a knee issue or an ankle issue. This one is actually, he's trying to regain control of his life.
No, that's a good point. Like I said, this is a twofold response. This is the human side of it, as you pointed out, the lasting, you know, how do I get to a place that this doesn't happen again? Or at least I have the tools to make sure that this doesn't happen again. And you mentioned Jody Balsam. I think she did a brilliant job of breaking it down last night. And I had a friend call me last night when I got back to the hotel, and they were talking about this. The idea being that, is he doing this as a legal ploy? Is he doing this because he knows it's going to help his case? And my counter to that was, I would like to think from the human side that he's doing this first and foremost to get help for himself and his family and to be a better player, because Brandon Chamblee did a really good job of breaking it down, that he was going down a path that you didn't want to think about where it could possibly lead. It was going to be a really bad path. Now, Jody did a great job of pointing out that when the time comes for there to be a trial for this, and there'll be a trial, and there'll be a jury, and certainly this will factor into it. And this actually opens up a door for him to get mitigation. Again, he get the similar diversion program that he experienced back in 2017 that allowed him to essentially plead a DUI down to reckless driving. Two things can be true was my argument. Like, I'd like to think that he's doing this first and foremost because he looked himself in the mirror on Saturday morning when he woke up, or maybe even Friday night when he was still in Martin County Jail, and thought, I need to change. Like, this isn't sustainable.
You hope that that's the epiphany that you have.
You do. Like, I think the human side of me is going to believe with all my heart that that's what happened. And his lawyer's probably also gotten that same mirror and said to him, this could only help us. We know it's going to help you as a person, as a human in your health, but your legal strategy is going to play out too. I think two things can be true, and I don't think anything's wrong with either one of those things.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with that assessment. As it relates now, in the Tiger statement did not necessarily identify how long he'd be taking a leave of absence from competitive golf. Sort of quantify right now as an indefinite stay. What that does mean, obviously, is that he's not going to be playing next week at the Masters. He's not going to be with Chairman Fred Ridley with the reopening of the patch. He's not going to be at the annual Champions Dinner on Tuesday at Augusta National. Also, Rex, when you look at sort of Tiger's significance in sort of the broader ecosystem of golf, aside from sort of the legal issues that he now finds himself, the personal issues that he now finds himself in, needing to seek treatment, he is heavily involved in the governance of the PGA Tour. And that's why I think you saw statements from both the PGA Tour and CEO Brian Rolup, both of whom issued their full support for Tiger. However, they are going to be proceeding business as usual as it relates in particular to the Future Competitions Committee, which Tiger Woods was heading in an integral part of that, really reshaping the competitive model of the PGA Tour. You'll remember back just a couple weeks ago at the Players' Championship, Brian Rolup sort of issuing a soft deadline, saying he wants to see significant progress made by the Travelers' Championship in June. Again, we don't know how long this stint is going to be for Tiger Woods. Josh Carpenter, friend of the program of SBJ, did report per a tour spokesman that Tiger Woods will have a spot back on that committee whenever he is deemed healthy enough to do so. But that's certainly, I think, from a golf perspective, one of the outstanding issues and something that the tour is going to need to grapple with now.
Yeah, I spoke with a source last night from the tour as well. They actually had a meeting yesterday. It was a virtual meeting, the Future Competitions Committee. My guess is it was mostly about Tiger Woods and what was happening and what was going to happen. And that's a good point, that the committee is going to continue to do their work. As you pointed out, that Brian Rolup set that soft deadline of June 22nd. He wants to get to the Travelers Championship with something tangible to show, just not the public, but to show the media partners, to show the corporate sponsors, to show the players. There's a lot on the line for him here, and we'll have to unpack this another day because there's way too much to this, and I do feel like it's a little bit callous given what's happened over the last 24 hours. But this is a big blow for Brian Rolup. There is no other way to spin this. We don't know how long Tiger Woods is going to be away. I would say he needs to be away as long as it takes, would be the answer to that. I don't think he should even put a number on it. But if you look at the inside politics of what the PGA Tour does, essentially the board that will approve whatever the SEC comes up with as far as a future schedule, because of the way things have transpired the last few years on the PGA Tour, Jay Monahan, the commissioner at the time, gave Tiger Woods a spot on that board. He wasn't elected by the players. There's no term limit. That essentially gave the players a majority on that board. It gave them 6 votes to 5 votes for the others. Let's call them the investors from SSG are on that board. Jay Monahan, whoever else is on that board. So what Jay Monahan did is give the players control, which they had never had on the PGA Tour policy board since the beginning, since Dean Beaman came up with it. That's a big shift. Without Tiger Woods, you don't necessarily have that majority anymore. You don't know when he's coming back. And because of how he was put on that board, they don't have the mechanism to replace him with anything. I had a player reach out to me after last Friday's accident saying that maybe they just need to give that spot to Justin Thomas or Jordan Spieth or someone else who can step in. I don't think that's the way it works. You created this position out of thin air. There was no election. there was no vote and there's no expiration on this term limit. I'm not quite sure you can just plop someone else into that seat. That's a big problem for Brian right now going forward if he wants to move his agenda along.
Yeah, I certainly see that perspective. I guess the only thing that's working potentially in the Tour's favor is the timeline has shifted for when they want these changes to be implemented. I know that Brian Rolup said that he wants to see significant progress made by June. We don't know necessarily that means a vote. Some of the changes, most of the changes, it certainly sounded like are for 2028 and beyond, not the beginning of 2027, as Tiger Woods and the Future Competitions Committee had previously hoped.
And that's great. And I think you and I both agreed as we got further down the road on this process, 2027 really didn't look realistic from the start when this first started happening. Like, you were trying to figure out how do you build the plane in the air when you have so many different sort of constituencies to deal with. As I said, you have 38 tour events. That means you have 38 corporate sponsors. You have something close to 38 presenting sponsors. You have 38 contracts with golf courses. You have 38 foundations. You get the idea, and you times that times 38. And it's just difficult to get all that in place. You're right. They have a little bit more runway now that they've shifted their focus to 2028. That being said, he still needs to get it in front of the media partners as quickly as possible. That's what
especially with the NFL media rights deal, trying to renegotiate that as well. I mean,
there's only
so much money at stake. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the NFL media rights deal are going to go the way the NFL wants it to. The PGA Tour has no control of it. What the PGA Tour needs to race to market with is to beat the other entities. We're talking specifically about baseball, but the others as well.
Yeah. And the Future Competitions Committee has been meeting. Look, Brian Rolup announced that in late August at the Tour Championship. So Tiger Woods' position on this should be clear by this point. And I also, you asked me on Tuesday night on Central, how do you replace Tiger Woods? I didn't have a great answer. And I thought about it more.
No one did. I asked everybody. I asked Jaime. I asked you. No one had a good answer. It's a bad question. Huh?
And so I think it's in some respects theoretical in nature, because like, Tiger's not the idea guy. Theo Epstein, who is an advisor for Fenway Sports Group, and sort of spearhead the movement that we've seen with Major League Baseball. Like, he's the ideas guy. He's the one who's looking at models. He's the one who's creating them. He's the one who's formulating what the future could be. A person like Theo Epstein. Tiger Woods is not coming in there and being like, we should shift this here, shift this there. Tiger Woods, in essence, as the chairman of the Future Competitions Committee, he is lending authority and credibility for what the PGA Tour wants to do. He is the face of these new changes. Brian Rolup might be the mastermind. He might be the one who has a significant load of the power. But Tiger Woods, Rex, when he signs off on something or he goes and stands in front of the players and said, this is what we've decided to do and here's why. Like, these are a lot of the players in that room are going to be Tiger babies. They grew up idolizing him. And if Tiger Woods has his stamp of approval, if Tiger Woods says that this is the best path forward, that I think is Tiger's most powerful weapon in that room, not necessarily the X's and O's and how this gets done. The tour has a lot of smart people in that room, not just player directors, but also advisors, very smart and savvy business people, SSG and the owners of Professional Sports League. Like, this is a group that knows what they're doing. Tiger Woods, in my opinion, his greatest asset was not the X's and O's. He's the one who could be the spokesperson for it and really lend credibility to it.
I'm going to push back on a couple of things on that. I think Tiger Woods is an X's and O's person when it comes to what the schedule is going to look like. Is he an X's and O's person when it comes to how the PGA Tour should go into the media rights negotiations? Absolutely not. That's Brian Rolup's. He's brilliant at that. That's why you hired him. That's what he does best. No, Tiger's not getting involved in that. But when you're talking about the product, the competition on the field, I would push back and say Tiger's got a lot of thoughts. And I think what we're going to end up seeing
is Patrick Cantlay. So does Maverick McNeely.
Absolutely.
So does Keith Mitchell. So does Camilo Vijegas. All those players are on the board.
Absolutely. But as you said, Tiger's voice is the one that's going to carry in that room. And Tiger's ideas are the one that are the ones that are going to resonate. And by all accounts, not everybody's on board. That there was a reason why Brian Rolup didn't have a shiny new toy to roll out at the Players' Championship. There's a reason why he clearly sent the gauntlet down for June 22nd. And this is when we need to have something tangible, because going on inside that boardroom, there clearly isn't consensus. If there was, we'd already see the end product. And as far as it applies to Theo Epstein and the folks from SSG, brilliant business people, brilliant sports business people. The PGA Tour, is a little bit different sports business. And I think mm-hmm. that's what they're running into. The idea that, well, this isn't like an ownership group stepping in and buying the Red Sox. This isn't like that at all. You have essentially 200 plus owners in your membership. You have a lot of different sponsors, a lot of different media partners. You have a lot of different people, constituencies that you have to, let's say, serve on some level. It's a little bit different. And I think everybody, including Brian all the way down, has learned this. And I'll go back to the boring inside baseball part of this. You're essentially losing a vote on the board that's very important if you want to try to get something done before June 22nd. We don't know when Tiger's coming back. Again, can't stress this enough. Come back when you're ready. Come back when you're healthy. But in this particular context and this conversation, you've lost an important voice and an important vote.
Yeah, I bring up Theo Epstein, not necessarily for the more for the fact that innovation, evolution, sure. that regard and what he's done, particularly with Major League Baseball, sort of butting heads up against the heritage and the tradition and the legacy of the PGA Tour. And that sort of give and take, push and pull that you're going to have as you try to reshape the competitive model of the PGA Tour, that cannot be easy. That is why we sit here on April 1st now without any answers. And that is why Brian Rolapp, when he looks ahead to mid-June, wants to have some more significant progress. Another thing down the line, Rex, again, paling in importance to Tiger Woods getting his life back on track is the Ryder Cup decision. And PGA of America, according to Doug Ferguson of the Associated Press, had a soft deadline for Tiger Woods to make a decision on that role at the end of March. We have now gone into April. Tiger Woods, again, has taken an indefinite leave of absence from competitive golf and all of the responsibilities that he has, either with the PGA Tour or potentially with this role as well. Where does the PGA go from here?
Well, you move on from Tiger Woods. I think that's fair and obvious to say, even though the PGA of America hasn't made a statement. I've requested a statement the last few days. They haven't said anything. But if Tiger Woods is going to be in therapy for the next foreseeable future, I think it's obvious that the PGA Tour needs to move on. They do have a list of two or three or four candidates that they were considering after Tiger Woods. I mean, I think they had to have a contingency plan. It's what they ran into last time around. When Tiger Woods sort of batted around the idea, didn't want to commit to being the captain at Bethpage, and they ended up having to land on Keegan Bradley. We can have the discussion about whether Keegan Bradley was a good captain or not later, but they didn't want to put themselves in that situation again. So there was a contingency. There was a fallback. My guess is as soon as Friday afternoon's accident happened about 2 p.m., the PGA of America was already having conversations by 2:30 or 3 p.m. last Friday. And now after what happened on Tuesday, I guess they're moving ahead full steam, trying to figure out which of these two or three or four candidates. I would think they're going to have an announcement really soon.
And look, you and I were dubious, a little bit skeptical about Tiger Woods in that role anyway, just with all the other responsibilities that he has. He's sort of shown some sort of ambivalence towards wanting the role. This is this sort of a redux of what we saw back in 2024 as well, when Tiger Woods said, you know, I've got a lot going on, sort of dragged out the process. Eventually they had to move on. And again, as you mentioned, went in a completely opposite direction. And Keegan Bradley, very similar time this way, not necessarily wanting the job, wanting to make sure everything else in his life and his business ventures was cleaned up before he assumed this role. If you're the PGA of America, you want someone who desperately wants this role. You want someone who is desperate to end the American slide overseas. Again, they have not won an away Ryder Cup since 1993. You and I had Justin Leonard on the show on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's on that short list necessarily. He makes a lot of sense. A Stuart Sink, a Webb Simpson, a Brant Seneca could potentially run it back as the President's Cup captain this year for the Americans as well, if he wants to do a double dip. There are options. There are passionate people who would love to have that job. I think it may be a blessing in disguise that Tiger Woods has essentially removed himself from consideration. So now the PGA of America can go full mm-hmm. steam ahead with a different candidate.
And I don't know that ambivalent is the right way of saying it. That I know it, from the outside, it probably seems that way. I certainly understand why people would wonder why Tiger Woods doesn't want this job. My guess is he does want the job. But there are so many other things going on in his life. In his mind, I think he prioritized the PGA Tour. In the future competition committee.
He's ambivalent towards the role right now in this capacity.
Yes, perhaps. And again, I don't even know that I would use that word. It's just, but we only have so much bandwidth. You and I both know this. Like you want me to join four fantasy football leagues. I can only stomach two. So that's my comparison on
this.
Seven. Exactly. Like you could do it. I cannot. I don't have that kind of bandwidth. And I think that's what Tiger Woods ran into. It was interesting. You brought up Justin Leonard at the end of that interview yesterday on Golf Today. I just kind of threw out a very general that if you were going to sort of make your pitch, what would it be? And I was surprised. I think you and I both were surprised. He did about a good 90 seconds of why he would be the good, a good next Ryder Cup captain. So I'm not saying that he's going to be in the mix, but clearly he's made the pitch.
Yeah, look, I would support that. Justin Leonard was a member of 8 U.S. Cup teams, either on the President's Cup or the Ryder Cup. He's a player and a person who was on Jim Furyk's backroom staff at the President's Cup back in 2024. So he at least has some experience there. If Brandt Snedeker added him to the backroom staff this year at Medina, that would make a whole lot of sense as well. So I think the PGA of America could do a whole lot worse with any of the candidates that they have now that Tiger Woods, it certainly looks to be out of the picture. All right, this week's the Valero Texas Open. We're not going to spend any time previewing it because it has been such a newsy week. However, Rex, we did have a couple of withdrawals this week, including Colin Morikawa, who I had in my top 10 for pre-Masters favorites. You left off. I'm sort of wishy-washy on that prospect right now just because it's uncertain whether Colin Morikawa will be able to go next week at Augusta National. Exchanged text messages with him on Tuesday, said he's made great progress, just wasn't quite in a position this week at TPC San Antonio where he felt like he could win. Perhaps a couple more days of rest and recovery and preparation will get Colin Morikawa back on track. But a pretty loaded field otherwise. Ludvig Åberg, Tommy Fleetwood, Jordan Spieth among those in the field. All right, that is going to do it for this edition of the Golf Channel podcast with Rex and Lab. It's been a busy week up on golfchannel.com. You can stay tuned with all the news, notes, and updates there. Rex and I will be back on Sunday night for a recap of the Valero Texas Open. Anything else that happens in the world of golf as we get set and set the stage for the Masters, we'll be in our rental house, as we always are. Shout out to the Mattel family.
Looking grilling.
We'll be getting up to Augusta in just a couple of days. Thanks for listening. Thanks for support. We'll talk to you guys Sunday night.